So 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Just one more week after tonight, and then we'll finish 2 Thessalonians. Can you believe it? And then we'll dive into the book of Galatians. That'll be fun. And you've heard me say this before, but one of the reasons why I love to preach through books is sometimes it forces you to preach on stuff you just normally wouldn't preach on. Like church discipline, which is our topic tonight. So verse 6 and then verses 11 to 15 are kind of a package. And then next week we look at the rest of the chapter. So starting in verse 6 of 2 Thessalonians 3, "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us." And then down verse 11, "For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother." So our title is Withdraw Yourselves. Let's pray. Lord, use your word to teach us tonight. Thank you for it. And I pray you'd be glorified through it and that each of us would open our hearts to learn. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to protect our ministry, our ministries from these areas as we strive to be faithful to you and your word. And so commit tonight's service to you and love you in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. So there's actually three different areas of church discipline. And this is a blessing to me as a pastor because it helps me to pray for our churches daily. I pray that God would protect our churches from these three things. A lot of people think church discipline is only Matthew 18. Matthew 18 is one aspect of church discipline, but only one of the three. One of them is sin. And that is what this passage is about. Talking about this brother walking disorderly. And that is one area when someone commits public sin and brings shame upon the name of Jesus Christ and on the name of the church, then they have to be dealt with. Now, if you go to 1 Corinthians 5, we'll see an example of this in Corinth. And this church had a man who was openly living in sin. And the church was not doing anything about it. And so Paul had to write in this epistle that they needed to deal with it. Verse 5, "To deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus." Verse 11, "But now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one know not to eat." So notice, not to keep company. We saw there in 2 Thessalonians to withdraw ourselves. So this is one area of church discipline is sin, public sin. And this brother was walking disorderly, and Paul said you need to withdraw yourselves. Now, a second area, which is not on our passage tonight, but we might as well look at all three, and this helps you to pray for our churches as well. We've got to protect them from public sin. And secondly, false doctrine. This is another area that has to be dealt with if it comes up. So look at Romans 16, verse 17, and we'll see it. Which we looked at this when we looked at Romans 16, I don't know, a year ago or so. Romans 16, 17. "I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." And then in 1 Timothy 6, we'll see it again. 1 Timothy 6, verse 3. And this will be the second area of church issues that need to be dealt with. The first one is public sin. The second one is when someone comes in and tries to spread false doctrine. Now, you're always going to have people come who may not believe the same, But they're, if they're coming and they're learning, that's fine. But if it's someone who's actually trying to spread false doctrine, trying to, you know, and they usually do it one-on-one. They don't stand up in church because that won't work. But they do it one-on-one, and they just try to spread their false teachings. 1 Timothy 6:3, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine, which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such, withdraw thyself. So there it is again. Withdraw thyself. So that's the second area that we always need to be on the lookout for and praying about, is that God will protect our church from public sin and from false doctrine. And then the last one is Matthew 18. So we'll turn there. And that's the third area, which is personal differences that don't get resolved. Now, all three of these have split churches over the past 2,000 years. I wouldn't try to guess percentages for each one, but they've all split churches. False doctrine has split churches, still is splitting churches. Public sin has caused churches to implode or explode, whichever it might be. And personal differences that get out of hand. And before you know it, it's not one-on-one, it's a group against a group. And it just gets out of hand. So Matthew 18:15, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. So you can see that the end result is always the same. This withdrawing thyself, withdrawing fellowship. So let's go back to our passage. And verse 11 of 2 Thessalonians 3. It says, we hear that there are so much walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. And we'll talk about the working thing next week. Now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that they with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye brethren, be not weary in well doing. Don't let this drag you down when someone is not behaving as they should. In other words, don't be weary in doing the right thing when there are people doing the wrong thing. And we all know it can affect others, which is why God instituted these principles, isn't it? A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. That's from 1 Corinthians 5, by the way. It says, but if any man obey not our word by this epistle, know that man and have no company with him. So there it is again, that he may be ashamed. So the end result is always the hope that the person will repent, that the person will get right. Or persons, if it's a major thing. Sometimes false doctrine can be more than one person. It can be a group. But that's always the goal, is restoration, that people will get right. And that's verse 15. Count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Admonish. That word means to warn, lovingly warn. The goal here is that they be restored. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14, if you want to turn back there, God uses that the word warn, which is very similar to the word admonish. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. So there it is again. Give them a warning. Hope that they will come right. And then Galatians chapter 6, if you want to turn over there, teaches us that our ultimate goal is repentance and restoration. That isn't always what happens, but that's the goal. Galatians 6, 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So we must make sure our hearts are right before we attempt to try to restore these people who have been overtaken in a fault, whatever that fault might be. So this will help us, I hope, as we pray for our churches, Rotorua, Petatadu. God, protect our churches from false doctrine. Protect our churches from public sin that would harm our testimony and harm the testimony of our Lord. And protect our churches from personal differences where people won't just get it right like they're commanded to, but they let it get out of hand. And it, of course, how does it get out of hand? Well, there was a word there in Matthew 18. It's the key word, the whole thing, and that was the word alone. Go to your brother alone. But our tendency when we get offended is to want to tell others, isn't it? So-and-so hurt me. And then it grows. Well, if he hurt you, and then you have teams. This team against this team, and then it can get out of hand, and it's really bad. So that's why God put those scriptures in for us, to protect our churches. But God says, do your best to love the person in a warning way. That's what the word admonished means. To lovingly warn them that the direction they're going is going to lead to nothing but trouble. It's going to lead to God's chastisement. It's going to lead to heartache. Warn them in love, but warn them. And hope and pray that as a brother, remember this has nothing to do with the unsaved. Church discipline, you don't discipline the unsaved, do you? It has to do with Christians in your church body that have either fallen into public sin. Fallen is a bad word, isn't it? They have participated in public sin, or they have gotten a hold of some false doctrine, and they're doing their best to spread it, or personal differences that have gotten out of hand. Our church is what? Wow, it'll be 55 years old in November. So we definitely had a church split in 1988 over doctrine, which we'll talk about when we get to the Baptist Bride section of our Sunday school series. I had the same thing happen to me in Arizona the 10 years I was there, thanks to YouTube. Personal differences, yep, we've definitely had those. And public sin, definitely had that. So it's just a fact of life. The blessing is it doesn't happen very often, because it's not very pleasant, is it? Withdraw thyself. In other words, back off, lovingly warn, and pray for the person that the Holy Spirit would get hold of their heart and they would repent and get right with God. That's always the goal of withdrawing ourselves. It's not to be mean, and it's not to be spiteful. It's a loving thing. It's just like when we smack our children with the rod. It hurts. But why do we do it? So that they can learn that there's consequences to disobedience. As Christians, there's consequences to disobedience, isn't there? And our Heavenly Father is a good Father and will always give the consequences that we need in hopes that we will repent and come back to Him and be restored. So withdraw thyself. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word and just for teaching us again tonight that you always have order in things and that, Lord, you always want us to do the right thing. And I pray again for protection for our church here and for our church in Petatadu from public sin, from false doctrine, from personal differences that get out of hand, Lord. And may we always stay close to you. And Lord, when we see someone falling, give them that loving warning so that they may be restored. Thank you for speaking to us. We love you in Christ's name. Amen.